There are certain stories that capture for many of us the essence of what Jesus was about, what he came to teach and to embody. Today's gospel for me is one of them. Jesus eats with sinners. That's what he's accused of by the Pharisees. Jesus eats with sinners. That sentence captures so much of what he did and what he was about. So I want to explore the stories and the teachings here of Jesus, but first I want to take a couple steps back. One is that in the spring, I shared with you something that I've been living with for 14 years and finally found my own words for, which was this teaching about the six necessary dimensions of a church in depth, or what I've been calling a rigorous church. And you may remember that those six are fluency in our spiritual mother tongue, community in depth, abiding, which means abiding in Jesus in a real life of prayer, befriending the poor, call, the idea that each of us has unique gifts that we can give to the glory of God. It's not just those of us who wear these sorts of things who have a vocation. And then finally, cross, to be very clear that when we do the work of God, we use the power of love, the power of the cross, which is not always the way the world works. And then over the summer, we went into some depth in the first of those six dimensions, fluency. What does that mean? In every sermon, I brought that up. How can we get more fluent in our spiritual mother tongue, particularly Scripture? Well, now I want to shift to the second of those six dimensions and explore what it means to be community in depth. And in particular, I'm going to rally around three words, all of which I will confess right up front scare me more or less. Vulnerability, intimacy, and belovedness. We can't be community in depth unless we're willing to enter into each of those three things. Vulnerability, intimacy. What is it that blocks us from intimacy and depth with other people? And belovedness. You may remember that when I first learned about these six dimensions, Gordon said, we all need to be working on our belovedness. And then at the end of that talk, he said, do any of you have any questions? And my hand shot up because I wanted to know what belovedness was. And then he said, not the really hard ones, because nobody has answers to those. And my hand went slowly down because I realized this was a deep question for me. What does that mean to work on belovedness? So the question here is, what does a community gathered in Jesus' name really look like? How would we recognize it? How would we recognize that it's a community of Jesus and not a community, for example, of the Pharisees? Again, Jesus eats with sinners. One other step back. Two things that we always have to remember. One is, in one of the collects we say, O God, you hate nothing you have made. And remember that in Genesis, it says that at the end of the sixth day of creation, God looked at all that God had created and saw that it was very good. And remember, in that same chapter, it says that we, you and I, were made in the image and likeness of God. That's true of you and me and everybody. Very good, not hated, made in the image and likeness of God. And simultaneously, remember this. Paul puts it very succinctly. All have died in Adam. All of us are carriers of that first sin, and we more or less add to that sense of alienation and separation and darkness. We all screw this thing up. Some of us subtly, and some of us flagrantly. Now, the Pharisees have noticed that Jesus hangs out with the flagrant sinners. Jesus notices that too, at least to start. Now, he tells not two stories, which we heard today. He actually tells three stories in a row. Pay attention here to the numbers. In the first story, there are 100 sheep, and one of them goes astray. I want to suggest that that's the flagrant sinner. That's the San Quentin sinner. And God goes after that sinner. and rejoices when that sinner comes back into the fold. So that's 1 out of 100. The next story Jesus tells is about 10 coins, one of which is lost, and God, the good mother, pursues that coin until the coin is found, and then she rejoices. So I would suggest that that's that toxic person in our lives, that betraying friend that we're still in relationship with, or maybe that's us in some context. It's the 1 out of 10. So we go from 1 out of 100, or sinners, to 1 out of 10. And then, do you know what the next story is? What's the next story that Jesus tells? It's one of the most famous. It's about sinners. It's about a famous sinner at first, and it turns out that there are actually 2 sinners in the end. So the next story, the next teaching, is this story called the prodigal son. And so it starts off with somebody who is a flagrant sinner, who takes all of his inheritance and squanders it and ends up in the mud with the pigs, and then repents and returns home. And do you remember what the father does when he returns home? He begins a feast. What's that? He goes to meet him halfway and embraces him, and then calls for a feast. And then do you remember what the other brother does? The other brother, who has been so good, becomes the sinner. He stands outside the house and is just mad. Now, who does that resemble? Well, us, but it also resembles the Pharisees who were at the very beginning of this story. Here's the point, is that at the end of the day, all of us are sinners. And then remember where this story starts, with the good news that Jesus eats with sinners. That's me, and that's you. Part of being community in depth is knowing that we all start from that broken, vulnerable place. We all seek intimacy, and we are all God's beloved children. Amen.